Welcome to Not Your Average Mother Runner Podcast. My name is Lisa, and this is not just a podcast about running. This is a podcast to empower women through fitness and health and everything in between. Because let's be honest, ladies, this journey could suck if we don't get our shit together. Okay, so welcome back to Not Your Average Mother Runner Podcast. This is the episode where we're going to talk about the Independent Woman Experience series, and I believe I spoke about that on my welcoming episode, and this is where we're going to hear the stories of women that have overcome challenges and came out stronger than they had before. So today, my guest is Morgan. And it's kind of funny because the way we met is at a birthday party. So I was invited to a birthday party event, and of all things, and I happened to be seated next to Morgan during the event. And I think I already said this to you, like I already felt like a connection with you. I don't know. I felt something, you know? And I remember after that meeting, I said to the person that we both know, I'm like, so who is she? And is she on social media? Does she have an email? And she's like, oh yeah. She's on Instagram. So I started following you on Instagram. And so for the listeners, just to know, you know, Morgan is a quadriplegic, and I'm going to allow Morgan to tell more about that and what that means and what that looks like. So I'm following her on Instagram, and I see her the other day doing exercises on her Instagram stories. And I was like, what the F? I'm like, look at this freaking badass. Like, my God, nothing is stopping this chick. And that's when I thought about reaching out to you and to see if you wanted to be a guest on the podcast. And because Morgan, you truly are, like, the things I see you do and the things that people have said that you're doing, you are the definition of other perseverance, truly perseverance. Nothing is freaking stopping you. And I'm grateful to have you here to tell your story. And so, Morgan, introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So thanks for having me on. Excited to be speaking with you today and share a little bit of my story. I think I'll enter in just saying that somebody said to me once, like, a story that they had heard with another person of a disability, that they said, wow, your life must be so interesting. Yep, certainly interesting. That
you don't say.
That is one way to put it, but a different way to think about it. You know, right. It could be, wow, look at that struggle or look at that challenge or whatever. And instead, kind of flipping it on the positive side of like, what a story you must have to tell. So right. I think that is definitely the case with me. I've been on an interesting journey and have a lot of different moving parts and passions and really a thirst for knowledge and life. And I definitely feel like despite of some of the obstacles that I've been faced with, I definitely attempt and do my best on a daily basis to overcome and live my best life despite everything that's been handed to me.
Yeah. And you know, I want people to know that when I look at you, I know you're in a wheelchair, but I don't even see that. And I think that was why I felt connected to you, because that wasn't what I saw. Like, I saw your hair. I saw your tats. I saw you being so kind and sweet and nice and real. And that's really what I saw. And I didn't see any of the other stuff that some people might see, but I know you're local in the area, in upstate New York, and I think we spoke a little bit about it where I asked you, how did you end up in California? Because that's where you moved up, after I mean, when did you decide? Well, let's go back. When did you decide to go to California, or was there an opportunity there?
Sure. So, yep, I grew up in upstate New York, about 3 hours outside of the city. And went to high school up here. Friends and family developed in the area for a long time. When I graduated high school, I went to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. I graduated 2009 with a bachelor's degree in culinary arts and business management. So with my time there at CIA, just an amazing, amazing experience there that really dove in. From a very early age, I knew I wanted to be a chef. I knew I just had this draw and passion towards food, like nothing else. What kid dreams of pancakes other than when they're not even hungry? But, you know, just always constantly thinking about food, and not even just food and eating itself and cooking, but really like how things are grown, where it comes from. Just a real interest in everything food related. So started working in restaurants young. I also went to a vocational school for culinary education, even when I was in high school. And then I moved down, and I just had an amazing experience through my college, and very eye-opening to my perspective. I think when I was growing up, you know, you grow up with this little narrow patch of life. And then as you start to go travel and, you know, meet different people from different parts of the world and experience different things, your perspective just tends to widen little by bit, everything that you experience. So going to the culinary was a really eye-opening, great growth experience for me there. Throughout the program, we did travel and do a wines and agriculture trip to California. That was the first time I had ever went to California. And just very appealing. I think a lot of the farm to table and slow food movement and a lot of the lifestyle things really appealed to me. So after finishing college, I worked in a couple of different places around the Capital District again. And then I believe I was 26, and I just felt like, if I don't go do whatever I want to do right now, it's never going to happen. Maybe I fall into a serious relationship, start to have kids, my financials, my business life might take over. If I don't do this right now, I might never do it in my life. And in hindsight, I'm so thankful that I did have that experience to myself, and I went and I fucking did it. And awesome. I went out there with what I could carry, two suitcases and a dream to further my culinary career. Wow. I had nothing else, just what I could carry. My mom did come out with me and help me get set up a little bit, but I just went out there, and within the first week I had like five different, we call them stages in the industry, and that's kind of like an interview, a working interview essentially, where you kind of like go in, you cook with the kitchen for a day, you see how you like it, they see how you work, things of that nature. So, and within the first week, I nailed a spot at 25 Lusk, which is this awesome restaurant in downtown San Francisco, working with an amazing chef, Matthew Dolan. He won a Michelin star in Finland with his team, and just learning from him and the team that he created over there was remarkable. All the experiences and kind of a flip in just plating ideology. and just a little bit of a different way to look at food, going to the farmers markets and creating a menu based on what's available instead of writing menus and then sourcing the ingredients, right. You know, so it's a little bit of a flip the script from the old school methods and stuff like that. So when I was out there, I did it. I was on the grind for years, not to mention San Francisco was one of the most expensive cities in the country.
I was going to say, wow.
And being a line cook for 14 bucks an hour, wow. It's tough. I was hustling, working multiple jobs. Right before my injury, I became executive chef at Barrelhead Brewhouse in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So nice little microbrewery right off of Hayton Ashbury near Hippie Hill, and rode my bike to work every day. And I remember biking to work like, wonder where life is going to go from here. Well, not too far after, I found out pretty fast. I left my house one morning, and I actually was never able to return to my home or the life I had built there for myself for about 4 or 5 years.
So this is where you had the incident, and you were kind of like, you were living life, living it up and not thinking anything. And if you could take us to that moment, like kind of back up a little bit and how you got to that point and then go from there.
Sure. And then, so a couple really shitty things happened to me in 2017. The death of my grandfather being the most difficult thing that I had to deal with. Like a dad to me, you know, always there. I had the current boyfriend that I was dating that kind of left, that dissolved. You know, I was really hurt because of that. There's two big blows. They say bad things always come in three. Mm. And then in the summer of 2017, it was August 21st, 2017, day of the eclipse, oddly enough. I think all these things play into it. It was so fucking weird. So weird. I woke up in the morning doing yoga and making nice spiritual namaste posts, and I can't wait to do a little soul searching during the eclipse today. Like, the post that I made that day was haunting. Like, oh, here's to new beginnings and a higher level of consciousness. Well, time for change, and little did I know how much my life would change by the end of that day. And, you know, I was just on a really great journey, despite of my grandfather passing away and dealing with some shitty relationship fallout and stuff like that. I really picked myself back up so positively. I was being one of the ambassador coaches for Beachbody. I was doing running online fitness groups and really on my nutrition and workout. In addition to being an executive chef and all these other things, really was like at the peak of my life. And I think really emotionally too, really finding out who I was. You know, I was 27 years old, like really just finally figuring out who I really was. And the rug kind of got swept out from under me. But that day, yep, I joined friends for touring Sonoma County. And in short, I dove into a pool and I broke my neck. Nothing was marked. It unknowingly dove into shallow water and broke my neck. And it immediately rendered me my original diagnosis is a C4-5 quadriplegic. So for those of you that don't know what that entails or really means, C4-5 is your cervix and your spine. It's a very high level injury. So your motor functions and everything, that your spine is like a highway. Your brain sends the message down your spine and it tells your limbs to move and controls a lot of major functions like bowel and bladder as well. And obviously your ability to walk. And for me, my hands are even affected and some of my arms. So I'm able to move my arms. My triceps are still a little bit weak, but we're working on it. And but my hands, I'm unable to physically really grip anything. I use different adaptive devices and assistive equipment and stuff that helps me. And I am getting better with dexterity and hanging on to things and coordination and coloring and painting and all that good stuff. But a challenge, to say the least, and it has affected my life dramatically.
Of course.
In the beginning, I had to have a reconstructive surgery, rods in the back of my neck, a plate in the front. I had to be trached, which was one of the most traumatic things, being on a ventilator. And having to be suctioned every 5 minutes because my lungs were just filling with fluid. And in the beginning time, I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't eat. And I couldn't speak on my own. Mm. And just even in my mind, I'm like, I think I'm doing pretty good at this point.
So when you said trach, just, I know what that is, but I don't know if anybody else, the people who are listening, what does that mean?
So tracheostomy is, my shirt's actually a little high right now, but right in the center of your throat, they make an airway and it's a little bit of a pipe so that you can go on an vent and it helps your lungs breathe for you, right? Essentially. When you are trached like that, you know, you can't eat or swallow normally.
Right.
And it was an extremely traumatic experience. Some people with my injury aren't fortunate enough to get off the vent, and they are functionally living in a chair, but they might still have a tube out of their neck to help them breathe.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So I'm thinking you're living this independent life, and then now you are back. So you had to, and I know you said that you went right back home. You weren't even able to say, okay, bye everybody, you know, I'm leaving. You just went straight from that incident straight to home. What was that like?
I still don't think I've fully put it to rest. I'm thankful for my friends and family. Mainly my family has just been phenomenal support to me through my whole life, and especially throughout this. But yeah, my life, my independence, everything I had built for myself, just structurally, the stairs prevented me from, even though I wasn't quite capable physically anyways to be trotting around and stuff like that at the time, there's stairs. I couldn't even to today, if I visit San Francisco, I couldn't get into my old apartment. Right. So, just to have that life completely, I walked away that morning and never go back to it. You know, my things, my independence, my privacy, you know, things like that. It really just my life. I feel like that part of me died that day. And now I'm a new and improved flower sprung forth, but just different. You know, I still, right. I do. I feel like I loved when you said, I don't really see the chair. Because I do feel like I have such a shining light still inside, and I'm happy that people see it radiate out. So I am thankful for that.
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, so I was injured. I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. Then I went to acute rehab for like 3 weeks. So just shy of like 2 months in the hospital. I was injured at the end of August and October, in the beginning of October. I took a medical flight home. That was extremely traumatic. Wow. And was able to get into my grandmother's house. My grandmother is now 83 years old, and I reside with her. At this point, we both need each other very much. She's getting older too, so it helps that I'm here. And even though I can't physically help her do things, me being here and us together and having people in the house that can help us both is mutually beneficial. So me and grandma are in it together here.
That's awesome. Well, when you said I know I've heard of medical flights before, but what about it was traumatic?
Well, when I say medical flight, what I really mean is I was taken off of the rehab bed with a sheet and put into a chair, and you have to transfer multiple times when you're getting onto the wheelchair, wheelchair, so gurney to wheelchair to transfer chair to airplane seat. Wow. And they're picking me up by a sheet and carrying me. And at this point, I've only been injured for like a little over a month. Like, I have no body awareness. And they had me strapped to a regular flight seat. And they had a medical nurse sit next to me. But when the plane landed, I almost scooted right down on the floor when we landed. It was definitely a challenge. Right. This past year, I took my first flight semi-able-bodied and much more coherent. I went to a music festival in Las Vegas. And although it was like challenging and I had to figure it out, I've now successfully flown independently. So that's exciting. Oh, well, of course, I had, my mom there to help, and
right,
a couple of people there to help me along the way. I mean, anybody traveling could use a partner, but
right,
I've overcome that a little bit. So that's been nice.
No, it sounds like you've overcome a lot. And with that being said, I know a little bit about what you're doing, but I want you to share with everybody, even though you've overcome a lot of these challenges I have seen, and I'm sure you can attest to that, I've seen a lot of people who've been through similar situations as you have, and not with their mindset, not see it as a positive way, or see a way to, you know what, I'm not going to let this get me down. So, and before you talk about what you're doing now, what do you think you have that those other people might not have?
I don't know that it's something that I always possess, but I practice mental strength every day. Mm-hmm. It's all about the mental. And some days I don't have it.
Right.
Some days I don't. But when I wake up, I try to listen to, and I love that you've invited me to be on the podcast because that's been a recent development of mine. I guess in the beginning, I said, what is a podcast? I didn't even get it. Is it radio? And then, you know, now that I've been really for the, I'd say about 3 months now, I've been diving into finding different ones, enjoying things that are out there. And it really is like, I love learning. I just, any kind of learning, I'm all about it. So if it's history or food related or affirmations or a positive motivational podcast, something like that, you know, I really enjoy that stuff. So that's been like a new awesome thing for me. And I feel like it's been helping me start my day off really right and get me in a good mindset to start the day. Because the second, you know, I could think, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. Well, the reality is I can't get out of bed or even turn or do anything until somebody comes and helps me in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then that blanket gets pulled back and I see the other 75% of my body and I'm like, oh yeah, this doesn't work. Well, this fucking sucks. It's going to be a little while until I get to, you know, have a second to myself to do all those things that I was mm-hmm. thinking about today. You know, being reminded, like, oh, and there's so many things I can get upset about. My hands don't work. My legs don't work. I'm constantly crooked. You know, a million complaints. And if you let that negative wear you down, it's so easy to this and then this and then this. But it's more challenging to have that gratitude and remember the positive. Like, happiness is a choice.
Yep.
It's going to be okay. You can create your own reality. Something someone said to me recently is, you are the only you there will ever be.
Absolutely.
And people have asked me before, how do you do it? How do you stay so motivated? How do you stay so inspirational? I don't have another choice. This is what I was given. Yeah. This is what I got to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And I think that if anyone met you, I don't even know if you could put a name or a title or a word to it, but they'll feel that you are definitely, you're going to figure it out. I got shit to do. I got to fucking figure out how to do it, you know?
And you're not going to, you know, you can sit there and feel sorry for yourself or get depressed and get down. And there's days that I do, but I'm not going to get better laying here. There's mm-hmm. not going to be any magic pill, any stem cell injection, any magic shot that I'm going to lay in the bed and they're going to bippity boppity boo and get me up. Mm-hmm. You're going to grow and you're going to get better. Sure. There's different therapies and treatments and stuff like that. That I wish for a cure for spinal cord injury. I hope that for myself and for the world. And I do think that different research is coming. I haven't lost hope in that too, right. But I think it has to come from within you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I am pumping that iron every day to ensure that I'm as healthy and as strong as I can possibly be in the meantime, while, you know, different things are researched and discovered and found out about spinal cord injury.
Yep. And I see you do that on your Instagram stories, but why don't you share what it is you are doing?
So a couple different things. I'm on a small council of individuals through Sunnyview Rehabilitation Center. I was first asked to be in a local support group. It's really the only local support group that I know of for people with spinal cord injuries. And there are paraplegics and quadriplegics in this group. So, and the spinal cord injury in general, every single person is different. They might be affected in different ways. They might have different abilities. And that's what makes solving the issue of the problem of a tear in the spinal cord. And there's many different ways that people can get injured and get their injury as well. So there's different classifications, different levels of injury. So just meeting the support group was great. We put this little council together to petition the board there, and we were able to secure enough funds to start this adaptive sports recreation program. Wow. So advocated for that for about like the past year. We've been as our little group on a couple different outings. We went kayaking. We do sailing. We were just going to go adaptive skiing. That was actually the first funded trip. And right before everything happened with the coronavirus, we were supposed to go in the beginning of March. But it ain't going to stop us. As soon as we can, we're going to be planning other things. And, you know, being a peer mentor in the spinal cord injury community, if I could ease somebody else's questions, you know, I look online, I follow people on Instagram and their YouTube channels, and I'm constantly looking for different adaptive workouts and stuff like that. If I can do that same thing and help someone and show someone how I do things or how I'm pushing through life, or you still can get out. Your life's not over. It's just different. Right. And it's not, that's it too. It's not difficult. It's different.
It's different. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But holy shit, that is crazy. So this is a group of people who you're doing different types of sport activities, regardless of the challenges. You're just going to overcome them and figure out a way to overcome them so you guys can go out and do what you like, love doing.
Totally. And it's cool. You know, we get a lot of camaraderie. We share tips and tricks. We're always checking out each other's wheels. Like, how'd you get that? Or, you know, they got something that helps them. And like, oh, their chair is kind of cool. Because just like anybody else, you would go out and you know, people watch or observe, or, oh, I like her shirt or the way she's wearing that. Well, it's not very often that you see somebody in a huge power chair like I'm currently in. Or if there's somebody with a similar disability as I have, and they're not in a big chair, they're in a smaller chair, like, how are they able to do that? Am I strong enough for that? You know, a lot of those questions come up, and, you know, it's really nice to just be able to share that information. I'm excited about, like, those are the bigger things I definitely have done, like the kayaking and sailing and stuff like that. At a home individual basis, I'm very blessed through a lot of fundraising that my family has put on for me, and people in the community have rallied together. I was able to get an adaptive van that helps me go for outings and stuff like that. So it flips down with the ramp. I'm just able to get in the van. That was huge. I mean, really life altering. Without that, you have to, somebody has to pick me up, shove me in the car, break their back, get me out, fold up the wheelchair somehow. Like, it was really impossible.
Right.
And then I was also fortunate enough to get some in-home therapy equipment. You might've seen me pedaling on my bike. Mm-hmm. There's a adaptive stimulus bike that helps send electronic responses to my muscles to target them to bike ride. I also have a standing frame that's kind of like an elliptical. I do hand weights, resistance bands, yoga a lot. I go to the gym. So anything that I would be interested in doing, and I might not be able to do the regular yoga moves, but I breathe and I flop my arms around as best as I can. And, you know, I feel better for trying. I feel better for doing it.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Morgan, Jesus. I didn't expect all of that. But there's more, because I know that.
Oh, but there's more.
Oh, there's way more. So I was speaking to this one person that we're friends with, and she talked about how you're teaching. So talk about that.
I am. Yes. So again, I think the first day in the hospital, I think I woke up. I don't know that I was in a coma. I think I was just very heavily sedated. And I looked up and I was like, you mean I don't have to go to work today? Oh, thank God. It was such a relief. I was so excited that I didn't have to go to work. I didn't really care. My neck was broken. I didn't care, whatever. I mean, you know, being a chef, being a food professional, you're working holidays, nights, weekends, 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. I mean, especially running a place, it never stops. It never shuts off. You're physically at the place 70 hours a week, if not more. And when you're home, you're doing ordering and you're still thinking about it. So that kind of release for one day, I was like, ah, well, little did I know I may never be able to operate like I used to. Again. Right. And then I'm like, no, I refuse that. That's my passion. I got to do it however way I can. And in the beginning, the first ideas that we had were doing a little restaurant review and accessibility, throwing in the accessibility part of it as well. I did that and I just found a little lackluster. I like to be hands-on. I like to be, you know, communicating out in the community, you know, having some feedback, just talking to the camera and, you know, showing some pictures. I just felt like a little lack of camaraderie or, you know, that kitchen sense, you know, you're, it's loud, there's people running around, there's, you know, you see the guest interaction and stuff like that. So I guess I just missed a little bit of that. So I did do some of the restaurant review. And then I am a member of our local Honest Weight Food Co-op here in Albany. And I was walking around the store one day and I was like, you know, the whole idea of a co-op is that you volunteer some of your time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, I, you know, I could do something. I could be a damn cute door greeter or teach some kitchen classes or something. And thankfully the coordinator over there, Deanna Beyer, was nice enough to meet me.
I love her, by the way.
And, yeah, it's awesome. And, just kind of get to meet me. I pitched this idea to do, a product knowledge class at first, educating people about ingredients, and they might not know where it is, where it comes from, how to properly store it, how to cook with it, how to regrow it, how to compost it, all those things that I just get crazy excited about. So she loved the product knowledge idea. And since then I've done, really fun classes, mushrooms, tea, greens, alternative milks. I always have, different topics, really my projects that I do at home. I'm just like, okay, now I want to show everybody this. And, about halfway through the year, she was really happy with my turnout, the response from the classes and everything. And then she asked me if I would, next teach a zero waste class. So I teach two classes a month normally. Of course, right now, unfortunately, they've needed to be suspended. But so I do the product knowledge and zero waste one a month. And it's always like seasonally what's going on, especially in the beginning of the zero waste ones. I'll do a little intro on the state of the world and why zero waste is an important thing for climate change and, you know, a different self-sufficient and homesteading mind to have. And I think right now it's so, so super relevant. You know, we're all seeing like, you know, we got to like be a little bit more just that, a little bit self-sustainable. So, and then at the end of the zero waste, you know, I'll give my kind of general spiel. And then I always have a focus that's different at the end. So the most recent one that I did was about kombucha and kimchi. So fermentation and preserving food in that method was the spin of the zero waste that month. And that was hugely popular. Everybody's been replicating it and stuff too. So it's been nice to see what I taught has like, you know, actually gone into action with other people too. So that's really cool.
Oh my God. That is so freaking awesome. So it sounds like you're doing the teaching and you're doing a lot of other things. Do you, I know we kind of talked about, do you have other projects that you have in mind that you want to do or probably already planned?
I do. Infancy stages of really trying to brand myself more and create my own business. I would like to step up. I post stuff on Instagram and I kind of have a mix of everything. It's my quad life, my me life, my cooking life, kind of all thrown in together. I would like to separate out maybe my food a little bit onto a separate page and start, even if I get my start in on like local farmers markets, a food truck, watch out 518, I'm coming for you.
That's awesome.
But yes, I'm very excited to share, but it's very early stages, so I don't want to jump the gun.
Of course.
Give out too much info.
Of course,
I'm
you're giving a tease.
I'm very excited on the baby that I'm growing. Yeah. For
and
that.
You're teasing them. You're teasing everybody. Something That's big right. is happening. All right. So what would, to wrap it up, what is one thing you would tell other women or people with spinal cord injuries to empower them? Maybe not just one thing, but what's one thing that you feel like maybe something you wish someone had told you that didn't tell you and you kind of had to learn on your own that it probably would have helped you in your journey?
You know, when I was in rehab, one of the, I think she actually may have been a therapist. She gave me a small stone carved rock. It was carved into a turtle. She gave me this rock and it was really pretty, but I just remember the story that went with it. And the turtle, he's a softy on the inside, but he's got that hard, hard shell exterior. He's tough. Ain't nothing getting through that. And he stays steady and he goes slow, but he wins the race. Mm-hmm. And just kind of all those things. Like, you have the heart, you have you on the inside, but you got to have that hard exterior. You got to throw on that hard armor and you stick with it and you will win the race. And I think just that mental, all about the mental, like, our thoughts become our words, words become our beliefs, beliefs become our actions, actions become our habits, habits become realities. I refuse to believe that this is the end of my story. It's just getting started. So that would be my message.
You just gave me goosebumps when you said that. I don't, you're right. This is just the beginning, like you said. How would you, this one last question, how would you like people to see you?
Just that. See me. I'm quirky. I'm funny. I'm out there. I'm really passionate. You know, I just get so excited about, you know, not just cooking and exercising, diet, nutrition, lifestyle things, you know, music. You know, I love just, you know, being social, being out in the community, hitting the farmers markets. I can't wait till we have some nice weather and get out there and stuff like that. But just, yeah, I mean, anybody, you kind of just look through and see them as a person. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. This was my thing yesterday. You know how when you ride motorcycles, you kind of give each other the low, like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Fellow motorcycles. Well, when I got in the chair, everybody in a chair, hey, you know, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
Give them a little nod. Well, now going out, it's so rare for all of us too. It's like you see another human, you have to say hi.
Yeah.
Hi, human. Hi, tree. Hi, whatever. It's just whoever we are, you know, look past the chair, look past what might be kind of, you know, unnormal and see the person inside.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the reason why I never saw the chair is because you don't see the chair. That doesn't come out. That doesn't come out of you. I'm seeing a human being with all that stuff, the quirkiness, I see life. And I think it's because you're putting that out there. And that's why I saw you and not the chair. And I think anybody who meets you is going to say the same thing. I think you're fucking amazing. Like, I kid you not. I see you on freaking Instagram and I see you doing all these things. And I just think you're phenomenal. But I
appreciate that. Vibes are high. But when you said it when we met, I'm like, I really like her.
I know. I'm like, I want to know that. Yeah. I want to know that girl.
A lot of similar values.
Well, thank you, Morgan, so much for coming here. Where can people find you? I know you have social media, you're on Instagram, and I do.
So yes. On Instagram, gimmemo87 is my handle. And from Instagram there, I have a link to my YouTube channel right in the bio. So if you want to go ahead and check that out, got some videos up there, and just stay tuned for some, new upcoming surprises in the future.
Awesome. And I'll put all those, I'll put all of that, your Instagram handle and your YouTube link on the episode of the podcast so people can click on it. All right. So thank you so much again. Thank you everyone for listening. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Leave your feedback and comments. I'm really interested what you guys think about this episode. I hope you guys enjoy it, and let me know if there's other topics that you'd be interested in hearing about. And thank you everyone. Thanks, Morgan. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for listening.
Bye.